See, independence is not the same as wisdom. Privacy is not the same as preparation. Being strong is not the same as being ready. Listen, wisdom builds a circle of trust before the emergency. You need to be connected with people. You need to speak to one another.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, June 7th, 2026. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, Before the Days of Trouble. And our text comes to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, let's see. You came this Sunday, right?
Amen.
All right, so. Okay, see. Didn't force you. You came, right? Okay. You willingly came this Sunday, right? All right. Oh, at least you're here. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It's a remarkable verse of scripture written, attributed to Solomon, a very wise man in many things and not very wise in other things. But let's look at it right now as we look at the screen. It says, what's the first word? Remember. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. No, you're in trouble. Okay, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. May God bless the reading of His word. Whoa. Remembering is an act of faith, an act of grace, an act that we all go through. We have to remember. We've been given this attribute of memory, of remembering. Psalms 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses' prayer in Psalms 90, 12, is not praying, Lord, teach us to deny the inevitable moment of death. He doesn't pray, Lord, teach us to pretend we will be here forever or will always be strong. But he prays, teach us to number our days. It's not morbid. It's spiritual maturity when you make an assessment of where you are today. This is for young and for old and everybody in between. To number our days implies, or it means, to live awake. Are you awake this morning? Whew. Having a hard time today, but I'll get to all of you. I'll get to all of you. But it means to understand that life is a gift. But it's a gift, here's the key, that is not under our control. It means that you and I can recognize and should recognize strength and health, mobility, memory, independence can change suddenly. We live in a culture, of course, that we avoid these conversations. We really do. We talk about vacations. We talk about, where's Ralph? We talk about vacations. We talk about retirement. We talk about investments. We talk about birthdays. And we plan. But what happens is something happens, and you're unable to speak, to decide, to manage your life. I know you came to church willingly. I did not force you to come. But I want you to know that Scripture says the wisdom begins when we remember our limitations. Not because we're afraid, not because we lack faith, but because we belong to God, and our lives should be ordered with humility. Humility. Otra vez, pues. Humility. Faith in the Lord and our belief in God does not cancel preparation. On the contrary, faith teaches us how to prepare. Today we have communion, and on that day in which Jesus inaugurated communion, he prepared the disciples in such a way that he will be remembered in that way. So preparation this morning for you and for me is simply shall we say, an act of love. Why do I say that? Well, John 19, Jesus is on the cross. He is, of course, suffering. Of course, he's carrying the sin of the world. He's fulfilling the mission that the Father gave him. And yet, in the middle of all of that, he looked at his mother and he remembered that Mary needed care. And his beloved apostle, John, Jesus directed his words to him and says to Mary and also to John, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciples, behold your mother. Even from the cross, the Lord prepared to care. To care. That's very powerful. Because Jesus was not only thinking about heaven, he was not only thinking about theology, he was not only thinking about what was going to happen, but he was thinking about responsibility. Imagine that. Mary would need care, so John would become part of that care. Jesus made sure that people he loved were not left without direction in their lives. It tells us something very important for you and for me. Preparation is not a lack of spirituality, but preparation can be deeply spiritual, where you think it through and you say, Lord, what will people think about me when I'm gone? Lord, I need to prepare so that those who will remain will know that I'm fine, that those who will remain will not be confused, so that those who remain will not be in conflict with each other. Lord, help me to prepare, because that means I'm protecting my family, protecting my friends, my community, from having to guess what would be better. Isn't this a wonderful sermon? Some people say, come on, talk about being happy with Jesus. Don't talk about those things. None of your business. It finally becomes everybody's business. It really does. Because love, brothers and sisters, is that when you become in a moment of life with issues that are critical, love says, here is where my documents are. Here is how you need to make decisions for me. This is what I want. This is how to contact my family. Here is the people I trust. Preparation is not selfish. It's service. Now, you know I'm getting to something, right? You know I am. I'll get there. But the fact is that you and I need to remember the Lord in the days of our youth. But at the very end of it, Lord, teach us to number our days. Not as something ugly or bad, but with wisdom, because wisdom learns in so many ways, even from nature. In Proverbs 6:6-8, it says, go and look at the ant, consider its way and be wise. Even the ants know how to prepare for the winter. And they go ahead, they don't wait for the storm to begin, they don't wait until there is no food, they don't wait for a moment of crisis. The ant has, quote, wisdom, because it understands the seasons. There's a season to work. There's a season to plan. There's a season to gather. And there's a season to prepare. And there's going to be a time of a season where you're no longer going to be able to do all of those things. Things that you could do early, you just don't do it today. And that's absolutely true. In our church, we have faced a crisis. And there's a crisis is centered on just one person who we all love and care and have great respect and admiration. We love him dearly. There was a clipboard that was going around or still going around or somewhere to go for us to go and visit Charlie. Charlie was a great guy, but he did not prepare properly. And we are really going through it. Well, there are things that need to be done when we're still able. And there are conversations that need to take place when you still have clarity. And the decisions that you and I need to make while we have the strength to do it. You know, you probably have a will or something like that stored away in a lock box that nobody has access to. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that lock box. Where's the key? I don't know. Where's the combination? I don't know. But it's there. Those are the things that you and I need to think about, because we have a responsibility to take care of our issues, our desires and our wishes. Charlie wants to do certain things and he's incapable of doing that only because he did not prepare. And I say this with the utmost love. He knows I love him. We go see him all the time, but he did not prepare. It took it out of our hands. We tried. Well, you know, Charlie was a private person. Is still a private person. And there's nothing wrong with being a private person. There's a lot of dignity in being private. And you may be a private person. Don't bother me, Pastor. What in the world are you talking about? I came here to see that Jesus loves me. Well, Jesus loves you, and so do we. So it's not just you and Jesus. It's you, Jesus, and us. Because all of us are called to live in community. So I'm thankful for the ability to be private, but there's some danger in carrying privacy to that extent that it becomes isolation, where you don't deal with anybody else. You don't want to have anything to do with anybody else. And it's very problematic. You know what God said? You know, God said back in Genesis, it's not good for the man to be alone. And this is not only just talks about marriage. It talks about the nature of humanity, the nature that we're gregarious, the nature that we need company, the nature that we need community. A church is community. We need trusted people. We need to have somebody who will notice if we're not here. Boy, do I have an eagle eye. I know exactly who's not here this morning. And like I said, next Sunday we're going to have some fun. We need someone who can knock on the door. We need someone who can call. We need someone who knows enough to help. You can live in isolation, but it's not the biblical way. You can be a private person, but there are some issues that are not private. They're just wrong. Christians need to have community and live together. The Christian life is not a lonely life. The church is the body of Christ, and we belong to each other. Amen. We are all together here. Amen. You have no right of saying, I'm going to be independent. I'll go to church, but I'll have nothing to do with anybody else because I am my own man, my own woman, my own person. You have a wrong virtue. You need to process the fact that you belong to a body, that you're part of a family, get this, that loves you. You say, well, there's some people who don't love me. Yeah, there's always one. But don't worry about that one. For every one that you don't like, there are 20 that like you. So come on. See, independence is not the same as wisdom. Privacy is not the same as preparation. Being strong is not the same as being ready. Romans 12:5 says, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That means our lives are connected. Connected. No, we don't want to be busybodies. Trust me. I like just to stay by myself. How many of you like to just be by yourself? Thank you. Our visitors, well, welcome to our church this morning. You picked the right message. I hope you have a will and that you write Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. Okay, good. You got it. Nothing to do with that, but it has to do with preparation, thinking through as Christians. Don't leave me now, Cecilia. Okay, <cool. laughs> I know everybody here. Yeah. I give up. Our lives need to be connected, and they should be connected. The question is not only do I have the document stored somewhere, or the question is also, does somebody else know that I have documents, that I have a will, that I have a trust, that I have this, I have the other? You think I'm not telling the truth here? Do you know what we've gone through the last 2 months just because the documents were not there? We went to an attorney. We hired an attorney. We spent thousands of dollars, and we got nowhere because the documents were not there. Amen. Que silencio, muchachos. Listen, wisdom builds a circle of trust before the emergency. You need to be connected with people. You need to speak to one another. You need to tell people who you are. You really do need to do this. And it's not that you have money. That's not the issue. It's that you are a living person, and there are people who love you, and that you need to help people so that the people, when the Lord calls you, everything will be taken care of. Don't leave it to chance. You heard that, John? Thank you. Yeah, okay. I don't know about you. Something else. Remembering your youth, remembering the Lord in your youth, remembering the Lord, counting your days. The discernment that is required, which you have in the Lord, you have it in there. Matthew 25 tells us about the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise had the oil ready, and the foolish waited too long. Lesson is clear, brothers and sisters. We need to prepare. We need to prepare. You need to prepare. So that at the last moment, you're not going out of your mind. I've been a pastor here for too many years. 40. You can come, Cecilia. Cecilia, you can come. Okay. I mean, you're going to disturb us anyway, so I might as well announce you. All I can tell you is that I've been here for 47 years, and you have no idea how many cases we've had of people who did not prepare for that moment, which is inevitable for all of us. And this is not morbidity. This is the truth. And everything, people fight among themselves. Family gets upset. Oof. This, that, the other, when it could all be avoided. That's what we have to ask the Lord, help us, Lord, count our ways. Not because you got tons of money. It's not an issue of money. It's preparation. Prepare yourself for that. And if you don't have a trusted person, someone like that, come and talk to me. Become my friend. Really, honestly. Look, there's a lot of people here who want to be your friend, but sometimes you don't want to expose yourself. But we're asking in the name of the Lord to use wisdom in your heart. The lesson is very clear in Matthew 25. The moment of crisis, urgency exposes what was prepared beforehand, and everything is taken care of. That's true spirituality. That's true relational. It's true practically. Discernment means knowing what matters before anything becomes urgent. It means asking the hard questions. I'm going to just leave those hard questions on the side. But like, for instance, have I made peace with God? Have I made peace with with people? Or do you still hold those grudges? Grudges that are insignificant to those who would observe it, but they're meaningful to you. But have you taken care of that? Have you forgiven people around you? Are you going to wait till the last moment and say, okay, Lord, I forgive so-and-so? No, forgive them now. Forgive. Have a clean slate. Have a clean slate. Have you asked forgiveness of others? Because, you know, you can be mean. You wait for the bunch that will be here next Sunday. We can be mean. We can be mean. Have you asked forgiveness? Have you put your house in order? Because that's exactly what the prophet, King Hezekiah, the prophet Isaiah told King Hezekiah, put your house in order. Put your house in order. And I'm saying this to each one of you, put your house in order. Put it together. Put it in order. Leave it in such a way that it's in order, that if the Lord were to call you tomorrow, everything's taken care of. That you don't have to sweat it out. Your family doesn't have to sweat it out. Your parents don't have to sweat it out. Your children, it's all taken care of, because we will do your will. Your will be respected. It won't be left up to the authorities, the county. Become a part of the machinery that takes everything away from you. So put your house in order. Put your soul in order, my brother, my sister. Put your relationship in order, my brother, my sister. Put your decisions in order. Not tomorrow, not someday, not eventually, but today. Act while you still have time to think for yourself, everybody here. All right. I'm about ready to conclude because David is leaving. It's not a sermon about wills or documents or directives or safety deposit box. Those things matter, but they're really only practical expressions of what is called wisdom. But there's a deeper preparation that you need to be aware of. Listen to this. Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house there are many what?
Mansions.
The next words are astonishing. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I mean, the gospel is wonderful. Before we ever prepared for God, God prepared for us. There's a preparation. There's a process. Jesus prepared a place. Jesus prepares the way. Jesus prepares salvation through his death and resurrection. There's a process of preparation, of putting things together. It's not just scrambled eggs all over the place, however it's going to fall. There's order. There's trajectory. There's purpose. There's direction. You and I need to think of that. Our preparation should never be rooted in fear. It seems to be rooted in hope. For we hope in God himself. So the Christian does not prepare for the ultimate moment because death has its final word, because it does not. Christian, you and I prepare because love has the final word. I'm doing all of this so that my family and my friends and everybody else were not going to deep despair. I wanted to mourn because I'm gone, but I don't want this issue of what I have. I don't have to be in dispute and everybody fighting like cats and dogs. Did I describe that right? Yeah, I know I did. Oh, you mean, I mean, I've been pulling people apart. This, that, the other. You and I do this because the resurrection has the final word in everything you and I do. But more important, at this moment, at this stage of our existence, we need to be stewards of the life that God has given us. We need to be very, very understanding of that. We don't know how many days you and I have in this planet. Sometimes I wake up and I say, I'm still here. Of course, that's about the only one that does that because the rest of you, you have eternal life, you know. But this arm aches, that thing aches, this doesn't work, the other one, you know. And before it was just fine. What happened? It's called life. It's called age. Aches and pains. I used to jump a fence without any kind of a problem. Right now, if I just attempt to jump the fence, you have to call the paramedics. See, so those are signs that we are vulnerable to the inevitable. And you need to be wise in preparing. Lord, teach us. Give us wisdom in our days that we may have wisdom in it. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was that I remembered the Lord in the days of my youth. I remember my Creator in the days of my youth. All my life I've served the Lord. It was wonderful because, I mean, there was not a single time that I can remember, and I go back many years remembering, where I was not serving the Lord in one way or the other. And to remember the Lord when you're young is wonderful. But it's never too late to remember the Lord, to ask the Lord to come into your heart and into your life. And you should not panic this morning if things have not gone the way that you wanted them to go. But you need to recognize that your days are numbered by God himself. And that you need not take every day for granted, but say, Lord, give me another day that I can serve you, that I can fulfill your will in my life. So don't panic by the message that I'm speaking, because I am not a prophet. I am not predicting anybody's going. I'm saying all of us are going to go. You need to prepare. You need to prepare. Don't despair. The moment that you and I pass on to glory, Jesus says, he who believes in me will never see death. It is so clear to me that the day that the Lord will take me, someone's going to have to tell me that I died because I won't even feel it. Yes, we leave people behind that love us, and they're the ones that miss us. But me, I'm going to be happy with Jesus. Don't you dare bring me back. You won't be able to anyway. Don't you dare. No. So there's no fear. But there's a certain amount of wisdom. There's a certain amount of stewardship that I'm speaking about something that needs to be done. Trust me, we love Charlie, but Charlie missed that step. And I tell you, it aches me to see him wanting to do certain things and he's not able to do so for a massive stroke that he had. He had a stroke, and they did not discover that he had the stroke after 4 days. He was in the floor. The paramedics came and got him. 4 days with a stroke in the floor because he was a private person. He did not want anybody around him. He lived in isolation. That was his choice. It was a wrong choice. I told him that's a wrong choice. Let that sink in. So you and I need to live wisely, truthfully, lovingly, and ready in community. This is why Scripture tells us all over the place, don't forsake the gathering. Don't forsake coming to church. We're part of each other's family. We are responsible for one another, spiritually, socially, yes, intellectually. We're all responsible for one another. We need to care for each other, knowing that this is a place where God sends his blessings. So maybe I should conclude by saying that Charlie's situation is heartbreaking, but it's also a lesson. It's a great teaching. Between hospital and the rest homes, I kept asking the Lord, Lord, show me what I need to learn from what's going on here. And it's heartbreaking. But what I learned is that all of us need to have a certain level of understanding that we're not here forever and that we need to prepare for that moment when nobody even knows when it's going to come. I believe that Charlie is a holy warning to you and to me, and his life will be always remembered, and he's still there, but he's unable to function. His stroke, just the doctor said he cannot make decisions for himself, and so the state makes decisions for him. You don't want that crisis to come. Maybe I should. Just don't leave your loved ones guessing. Come on. Be brave. Take a deep breath. Come on. Do it. For the sake of the gospel, but mostly for the sake of your own life. Just let us know. Let us know. I never really knew how important that was until my parents passed away and they had everything written down. I had no sweat, neither my brother Richard nor my sister Susan. We had anything to be concerned about. Everything was ready. Everything was ready. They prepared ahead of time. And don't confuse privacy with preparation. And don't confuse faith with avoidance. Please. Jesus from the cross cared for his mother. The ant prepared before the winter. Moses prayed for a heart of wisdom. Help me, Lord, count my days. Did you hear that? Count them. The ticker is counting. I got to change this. You guys look like you're going to call Rose Hills. Smile. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, when I prepared for this sermon, I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. Change it, Lord. Change the sermon. We need to live prepared, brothers and sisters. Please, in the name of Jesus, just think it through. Don't leave it up in the air. If you need my help, I'm here. In confidence, we can talk, we can speak. But please, be prepared in your home. Be prepared with your relationships. Be prepared in your responsibilities. Let your soul be at peace, because wisdom before the crisis is love in advance. So we pray, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We pray, Lord, give us courage to face the conversations we avoid. We pray, Lord, give us humility to admit that we're not in control. We pray, God, give us love for those who may one day have to make decisions for us. Help us not to leave confusion where there could be clarity or fear where there could be peace. You know, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, went willingly to the cross. And the most amazing thing is that he gathered his disciples And he told them, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, I'm going to send a comforter. Jesus prepared for inevitable. Jesus prepared so that when he would go, all of us would understand that what was going on was under control and under supervision and under direction. It was not up in the air. It was not up in the air. There was control. Can I hear an amen? Come on. Amen. Next Sunday is Jesus Loves You. Okay. So, Lord, we pause before you and we thank you for the grace that you've given us, for the wisdom, Lord, for this word of exhortation to all of us, Lord. We ask that you would, in different ways, in different means, trigger our hearts a response that honors you. Oh, Lord, we pray for Charlie. We pray, Lord, that you would reverse what has happened to his body. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that he will not feel alone when we come and see him. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to him. But help us, Lord, to learn from that we may be good stewards in Jesus' name. You know, Ralph and I have spent considerable time, and some of you have as well, considerable time with him. We saw him yesterday, day before yesterday, and we prayed with him. And after we prayed for him, he raised his voice, and in a difficult way, he said, God does not fail. He said that God does not fail. And Ralph was moved. I don't know if she told you that, David, but he was moved. He says, that's right. He doesn't fail. And he got an envelope that was in the stand, and he wrote, God does not fail. He wrote it down there. God does not fail. Because even in spite of all the issues that we may conclude in life as being errors, God's still there working and overruling those things that may become the end of our lives. Jesus is good. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.